Well, good morning. Good to be together. This morning we have a real treat. We have the joy of having a brother who's in his last, approaching his last semester of getting a 40-year degree in Bible at Fried Hardeman. He's in the School of Biblical Studies there. Cy Cox is going to speak this morning. Cy was converted with his wife at Homer, and from there lived in Juneau. He was in the Coast Guard in those days and has gotten out of the Coast Guard and has decided that he wants to be a preacher. And full-time, he wants to come up here and work in the state of Alaska and is spending this summer, and he was here last summer, but spending this summer as a trial to look around the state and see where it is that he fits. And he'll be preaching in several places around the state this summer. He's here with his wife, Maria, their sons, TJ, Justin, and Nathan. I know you've met them, or many of you have met them and gotten to know them over the few weeks they've been here. It's a real joy to have them, and I look forward to hearing Cy this morning. Brother?
Morning, everyone. It is wonderful to stand up here and see so many seats filled with people. And it's even better to listen to all your hearts singing praises to God. Now, if you were here last week, you got to hear Robert preach a wonderful 40-minute sermon. Hey, don't laugh. Bill bet me I couldn't preach longer this morning. So. I'm just kidding. I won't do that. Well, I don't think I will. We'll see. Most of you don't know me very well. Those of you who do could probably tell you that before I went to school, I spent 10 years in the Coast Guard, mostly doing search and rescue and law enforcement. 7 of those 10 years were right here in Alaska, and 3 of those years we're in Louisiana. And I want to begin this morning by telling you a story about one of those nights in Louisiana. As a matter of fact, it was Thanksgiving. And I had search and rescue duty that day, which wasn't too bad, because usually the holidays during the fall and winter down there were pretty quiet. People usually stayed out of trouble, so we'd have an easy day of duty. And this day was like that. We went the whole day, and it was nice and quiet. The radios were quiet, no calls for help, no one getting in trouble. It was great, all the way up until just before sunset. We received a call from a man who was in his boat, and he was driving to his cabin, which was out in the swamps, deep in the bayous in Louisiana. And his father-in-law was following him in another boat. And at some point, his father-in-law stopped following him. He looked back, and there was no sign of him and no sign of his boat. So this man turned around, and he backtracked and found no sign of him. So then he went to the cabin thinking maybe his father-in-law found a different way, and there was no sign of him there. So he backtracked again, and he couldn't find him, and he searched around, and there was no sign of him anywhere. And at this point, it's starting to get pretty dark out there. And of course, this man knew that he couldn't go back to his house and say, "Honey, I lost your dad in the swamps. Sorry." So he gave us a call and asked us to come up there and help him search for his father-in-law. So 3 of us loaded into our boat, a small open boat, center console, and we headed up the waterway. We arranged a meeting point with this man. We met him there, and he hopped in our boat, and he took us to where he last saw his father-in-law. And then we backtracked with him. No sign of him, no sign of the boat. We went out closer to his cabin, no sign of him, no sign of the boat. We started backtracking again, still no sign of him. So then we had to basically go into this maze of bayous, the swampland. And by this point, it's pitch black, because it was overcast, much like this beautiful summer weather we've been having here. No light from the stars, no light from the moon, No civilization anywhere in sight. Pitch black. So we slowly began to creep into this maze of pitch black darkness. And as we slowly crept along, the only noise was the gentle humming of the boat motor and the occasional stealthy slide of an alligator slipping into the water, hoping maybe we'd join him for a late night snack. We searched for hours and hours and hours deeper into this maze of bayous, turning into one dead end after another, going this way and that, never knowing if we were coming or going. And still, no sign of this man's father-in-law. No sign of his boat. No sign of anything. Deeper and deeper into this mess we went. Until finally, we come to what appeared like maybe a big open bay. It was really hard to see, but it looked like it was this big open bay. And this man that was with us says, "I know where we are. If we just head directly south from right here, we'll get to the other side of the bay, and that's exactly where we met. My boat, we left it right over there on the other side. Just head directly south." So the guy driving the boat points the boat south, and he brings it up to full speed, as fast as that boat would go, about 40 miles an hour across the top of that water in pitch black darkness. Flying across the water, fast as we could go. And that's when it happened. We were going as fast as we could possibly go in pitch black darkness. And we never saw it coming. We were going too fast. It was too dark. There was just nothing we could do. It was too late. At top speed, we hit dry land. And I don't mean shallow water. I don't mean a nice sandy beach. I mean dry land with grass this tall growing on it. And we didn't stop. We just kept going. We kept going all the way across that dry land. Splash! Into water on the other side. Of course, the boat died. And we're just sitting there, drifting, slowly coming to a stop. We stood there, trying to regain our senses, slowly loosening up the death grip we had on the handrails. And although it was pitch black, and we're only standing a couple feet apart, and we could barely see each other, we could tell the very moment that we all came to the same conclusion. We all knew at that moment that we were hopelessly, helplessly lost. We had completely lost our way. I want to invite you all to recall briefly some time where maybe you were that lost. Maybe some time where you had lost your way. Recall that briefly in your mind as we turn our attention to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Here we have Jesus with some of his disciples, and he's telling them, "I've got to go now. My time's up. I've got to head back and prepare a place for you." "What place?" "A home," he says. "Where's that?" "With the Father." "Where's the Father?" "Heaven." "Going to make a place for you, a home for you to come to, with the Father in heaven? And the response is, we don't know the way. How can we get there? We don't know the way. And Jesus says, I am the way. Now, without getting into a Greek lesson, I want to say one thing here. If we were to translate this very, very literally, Jesus said, I am the way. And that sounds kind of funny. I am the way. There's an extra I in there. But there's a point he's making here. When he says that, he is excluding everyone else. It's as if one of us were saying, I and only I, me and no one else. There is no other way. Only me. Jesus is the way. I imagine when he tells them that they know the way to where he's going, and they say, we don't know the way. It was probably pretty frustrating to him because, you know, mankind has been doing this since the very beginning of creation. God made the heavens, and he made the earth. He made the seas. He made the dry land. He made the air. He filled it with plants and animals, fish and birds, and he made it for mankind to subdue, to rule over, and to fill up. And he made it just for them. He made a sort of paradise for people to live in. And he provided everything that they needed. He even walked on the earth with them. But what did mankind do? Instead of taking his way, they left him. They left God and decided to try to make their own way without him. Think for a moment of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. Here we have a group of people who said, let's make a name for ourselves. We don't need to carry his name. We don't need to do anything by God's authority. We'll make a name for ourselves. We're going to get together, we're going to build a city, and we're going to put a tower so magnificent, this tower is going to reach up to the heavens. We'll make our own way home. We'll do it without God. And they get these bricks. They start making bricks. And they start building this tower. And it goes higher and higher. And they keep stacking the bricks. Higher and higher and higher this tower goes. 50 feet, 70 feet, 100 feet. Who knows how tall. They wanted it to go all the way up to the heavens. And they stood back. And they admired their handiwork. This magnificent creation. This creation that was to be the pinnacle of mankind's accomplishments, reaching up into the heavens. And although they stood back and admired it as if it were such a wonderful thing, reaching all the way up to heaven, right up there to God, if you read it carefully, you'll see that God had to come down, way down, to see what men thought was such a wonderful creation. What they thought reached all the way up to the heavens, all the way up to God, was nowhere near it. He still had to come down just to catch a glimpse of what was really something minuscule compared to what God can do for us. Consider the golden calf. Here are the Israelites at the base of the mountain, which is covered in the very presence of the Lord. They're afraid to go up there. And Moses goes up to speak with the Lord for just a little while. And what do they do in the meantime? We can't wait for this God. Give us your gold. Give us all your jewelry. We're going to melt this down and we're going to make our own God. We're going to find our own way. And that's what they did. They melted it down. They made a golden calf to bow down and worship. Tried to make their own way. And what they created was a lifeless God. A God who could give them nothing. A God that had no love. A God that had no grace, had no mercy, had no power. A God that they had to pick up and carry around. Trying to make their own way. The Tower of Babel, the golden calf, Asherah poles, idols. Time and time again we see it. In the scriptures, in history, mankind leaving God to try to find their own way, even though God has always provided us with the way. How far we have come, considering that mankind began life on this planet knowing only the one true God. Jesus says, "I am the truth." There are a lot of "I am" statements in the Scriptures. Jesus is described as many things. Jesus is the door who protects His sheep in their fold. He is the light. He exposes sin and points to better things. He is our shepherd. He leads us through this wilderness wandering on our way home. He's the Messiah. He is the one who has been chosen by God. He is our Savior who gave Himself for us. And He is the truth. He is the truth. Mankind's attempts to find their own way and to make their own truths has resulted in so many people on this planet who haven't even heard of our Lord. They don't even know that there is a way. They don't know that there is a truth. They don't know that they can have eternal life. Here in this country, we have kind of what I call a fast food religion. It's like Burger King. You can just have it your way. Whatever makes you feel good, go for it. It's this confusing mix of this and that. And what does it all lead to? Well, it doesn't lead to life. Pontius Pilate had Jesus sitting there right in front of him, and he says, "What is truth?" He had the truth sitting right before him. Couldn't recognize it. The Jews who studied the Old Testament Scriptures, who were supposed to recognize this, had Jesus right there, and they falsely accused him and put him to trial and had him crucified. What is truth? John 8:32 tells us that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free from sin. Freedom from sin means eternal life. I am the truth. Where do you put the emphasis there? I am the truth. I am the truth. I am the truth. I am the truth. I am that which is the very content of truth, reality, fact. I'm not sure where to put emphasis on that. So many today are so confused about religion. And we can put truth all around them, anywhere in the world. We could put the word of truth anywhere in the world and beyond. We have the internet. We can email the word to someone, and in an instant, it's on the other side of the planet. How about cell phones, satellite phones? We can text it to people. Billboards, church signs, radio, all over the place. If you were an astronaut, you could be listening to this sermon right now on the moon. And I know every hotel I've ever stayed in has a Bible sitting right there in the drawer next to the bed. We can put it all over the place. But for some reason, especially in this country, which God has blessed so greatly, we just can't seem to get people to put it in their hearts. Now, for some people, it's stubborn pride. I don't need anyone to tell me how to get to heaven. I know what I've got to do. I don't need to rely on any God. For some people, it's blatant disrespect. If He's so great, why hasn't He done anything for me? Like giving you air to breathe, food to eat, water to drink. Those things apparently don't count. But for many, it's simply ignorance. That's how I was. I grew up not knowing what the Bible was. I didn't know what the Bible was until about 7 years ago. I didn't know who Jesus was. Literally. So for many, it's just ignorance. For many, it's just a simple confusion of what truth is. In our society today, there are many people who believe that truth is something subjective. That what is true for me is not true for you. My way to heaven is truth for me, but your way may be different. And that's truth for you. It wouldn't work for me, and my way wouldn't work for you. Two different truths, but they're both right. Even though they contradict each other, they're both true. It sounds stupid. Well, hopefully not offending anyone. It is stupid. But that's what people think. Others think that, yeah, there's an objective truth. But you know, our view of it is so skewed by our individual personalities and the experiences that we go through throughout our life that we shouldn't even bother trying to find it. Because none of us can really discover it because we all have a different view about things. Jesus is the truth. How great it is that the very foundation that our faith is built upon is truth. Is that which is real, factual, the truth. And Jesus says, I am the life. John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In John 1, 1 through 4, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word's Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That light has always been there since the beginning of creation. Since before that. That light was there. And that light is there for us today too. But according to men, Jesus is a liar. According to men, Jesus is a fake. According to men, Jesus is a myth. According to men, Jesus is only one way. But according to God, Acts 4, verse 12, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So how do we get that life in Him? We die with Him. Romans 6, verse 4 and 5, it was read earlier. We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. A resurrection that takes us all the way up to heaven to be with God forever. In Revelation 1, 17 and 18, Jesus says, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Unless there be any confusion, Jesus concludes this by saying, no one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. I don't have to tell you that I survived that night being lost in the bayou. I should probably tell you that everyone else did too. There was a happy ending. My father-in-law got lost, but eventually we were lost. Everyone was lost. But once the sun came up and provided light, it was fairly easy for us to find our way home. I'll tell you what, I will never forget that moment where we all realized how hopelessly lost we were. You know, there are so many people today who are that hopelessly lost, but not in a physical way. Their soul is lost. And many of them, I would say most of them, don't even know it. They don't even know that they're lost. They don't know that there is a way. They don't know that there is truth. They don't know that they can have eternal life. And it's our job to bring that message to them. We are like that sunlight that came up and lit the way home. Jesus says that we are the light of the world. God has given us His Word. He's left it in our hands to spread to the lost, to light the way, to teach people the truth, to bring them to eternal life through Christ, to help them see that way. That's God's challenge for us in our life. As a response to all the wonderful things that He has done for us, allowing us to come to Him and have that eternal life. And He asks that we would share that with others. And most of them just simply don't know. This morning, if you're a Christian and you've lost your way, we're here for you. If you have need of your brothers and sisters to lift you up to the Lord in prayer, if you have any needs that need to be met by your brothers and sisters in Christ, let it be known. If you're not a Christian, Jesus is the way. Come forward and obey the truth and gain that eternal life. Come forward and be immersed into Christ's death and raised to walk in newness of life. Gain that wonderful promise of eternal life so that someday we'll get to see you forever in heaven. If you have any of these needs, please come forward and let it be known as we stand together and sing.